Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So how many of us have had that dream where we have found ourselves waiting to go on stage, only we realize we don't remember any of our lines? And then even worse, we don't remember any of the stage direction or the choreography. Or even worse, we don't even know what show it is. Or even worse, that we're not even an actor in the first place. In those dreams for me, without any rehearsal, I've forgotten those lines. My script is God knows where, and I've forgotten the choreography. The words to the musical numbers are all jumbled around because in my dreams they're always musicals for some reason. And the people that I trust to carry me through, to support and uplift, to strengthen and play off of, they're not even there. There's people there, but nobody I actually know to look to for some sense of security. So there's that hot spotlight that comes down, that cold sweat, that feverish, flushing wave of anxiety that we know all too familiarly. The cold stares from the shadowy figures we call the audience, whose faces we can't quite make out, but we know they're staring only at us. And we freeze. Life kind of feels like that sometimes. We're ready to go on, but we haven't the faintest clue what we're supposed to be doing. At times, it feels like our world might be having that dream as well. There's so much going on, and we're constantly looking around us to see if anyone else knows their lines, grasping at straws for some sense of security, and knowing that maybe this show will actually happen without too much of a fault. We look to our news cycles, our news feeds, even our social media feeds, and wonder who's got the next line. Because we know that spotlight is on, and we're just realizing that the world isn't following any script that we know, and we're all a little lost at times, trying to figure it out as best we can. Yeah, I've had that dream. I've had those moments where I literally have no idea what to say to someone, let alone how to say it. I've been in really awkward situations where I haven't known how to act. Plenty of times where I've said the wrong things and could have kicked myself. Yet, when I've had those dreams, I've known that the show must go on, because the show must always go on. I've started singing, even if it was a completely wrong song, trying by some way, somehow, to figure out how to make it through, or hoping that some line would trigger a memory or some sense of familiarity with what show I was even in, hoping that by doing something, I would figure out how to get back on track. Because while we might be jumping into our part in the middle of the production, the show had to start somewhere, and there will certainly be an end. But now, we're jumping in at the middle, just trying to make it through. It's Transfiguration Sunday, the last Sunday of Epiphany and the first Sunday before Lent begins. And this is the day where God's glory is revealed in Jesus as he sets his sights on Jerusalem, the place where he will enter triumphantly and leave in a tomb. Jesus has been setting the stage, so to speak, for these very moments, preparing those around him for his ultimate end and their ultimate beginning. Epiphany began with a remembrance of Jesus' baptism, and you may recall that Mary Kay, Barb, and I had a bit of a water fight at the baptismal font on that day. That was the day we took the stones out of the river to remember our baptism, to hold on to those stones, remembering of God's revelation in the form of a dove. Over the past few weeks, we have encountered Jesus in many places along the journey. Last Sunday, I preached about the meaning of Jesus' sermon on the plain, that even in the hardest, most challenging, and hurting places of our lives, God in Jesus offers blessing, That's not to say that hurting or suffering or pain is blessing. That's to say that in the midst of the hurting, the pain, and the suffering, there is blessing. And so this morning, Jesus ascends the mountain, the place where the human condition partakes of the divine glory, as Claudio Carvalhais puts it. In some ways, it kind of feels like a superhero moment, does it not? Like the heroine getting one last recharge before facing her ultimate enemy, and Wonder Woman comes to mind specifically. When she arrives on the scene in Batman vs. Superman, she does that superhero landing, that classic one fist on the ground, one arm up. She's got a sword in one hand, shield in the other. I don't remember if that's exactly how it happened in the movie, but that's how I picture it. But she's got this fiery light surrounding her. And she looks up from behind her shield with that slight smile, ready to face the big bad, even if it means sacrificing it all, because she knows what it means for the world. While Jesus didn't have a sword and a shield, he does get a bit of a fiery glow and a power far beyond our understanding. A power that actually both he and Wonder Woman share. The power of love. Love of creation, love of others, love for connection, love of community, a belief that humankind can, in fact, actually do good, even if it means we get it wrong more often than not. But unlike Wonder Woman, though she does go back to fighting for humankind, Jesus' love remains unjaded, even as he witnesses the suffering people experience and the suffering that people cause. One scholar mentions in his commentary that the disciples and those with Jesus at the base of the mountain wanted to camp there. They wanted to remain close to where it was safe, where it was holy, where Jesus had been surrounded by a cloud and revealed at least to a couple of the disciples in dazzling sparkles. But Jesus had other plans. Surrounded and engulfed by divinity that was woven and knit into his very being, he had his eyes set on something that he knew would require literally his last breath. Something he pointed to that the scriptures had been rehearsing, something that the world and God had been waiting for, and everyone around him started to feel like you could say, like they had woken up in the middle of the play. They knew that it was a play. They knew that they were part of a holy production, but they didn't exactly know their lines. Everyone kind of staring around, looking at each other awkwardly. Meanwhile, the principal dancer in the lead has taken charge and gone on with the show while we're still trying to figure out what show we're even in. Jesus is kind of that principal dancer, that lead actor who knows what's going on but isn't about to try and take all the fame and acclaim for himself at the failures of those around him. Fortunately for us, it's not that nightmare anymore, because we get to take a deep breath and realize we're still in rehearsals. We're still learning the script. We're nowhere near off book, and it's not even tech week for that matter. And as the church with a capital C, we're kind of in the business of rehearsing. Why else would we keep telling the same stories over and over and over and over and over again? Maybe there's something real and powerful for us that maybe we still don't understand. Maybe there's just a lesson buried deep within these stories that hasn't quite been figured out, or we haven't figured out how to live into it yet. And as we rehearse these stories again from the top, we get to peel back the layers of meaning as our lives change and as the world changes. In rehearsals, we get to try putting different emphases on different syllables. We get to discover new meanings, become reacquainted with our favorite lines, our favorite characters, but also pick up some new lines that we never noticed before. We get the opportunity to grow a deeper connection with those, our beloveds in the story, and form a deeper bond with those who we're sharing the stage with. It's in rehearsals, these stories, it's in rehearsing these stories we get to strengthen our trust with the core meaning of the text, to love and to be loved, because God did it first. So this Lent, as we transition from this time of revelation and epiphany, we're going to be rehearsing the greatest story of our faith. We will be journeying with characters we have journeyed with, in some cases, for a lifetime together. We will rehearse these lines. We will peel back the layers, sharing, connecting, communing, participating, engaging, challenging one another to not just memorize the lines, but to take them to heart, breathing new life from what has been into what can be and what will be. Walking away from the fear of that nightmare, ready to take the stage, not in anxiety because of the spotlight that is on us, but transformed by that light, participating and sharing in the glory of this show. Amen.